Shabbat Shalom and welcome to Kehilat Tenuva, The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic Congregation in Thornton, Colorado. You're listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. Our goal is to provide, for free, the message of the Torah from a Messianic Judaic perspective. Here's Pastor Mark.
I want to talk about believing and praying and watching the power of Jesus change this world one person at a time through us. So I'm going to talk about our mission. Our mission in the harvest. Let me read it to you. This is our mission. This is why we exist. We are a community-based congregation. We're not just a church. We're not this phenomenon that you go to once a week and then that's it. We're a community-based congregation. We get into each other's lives, into each other's business, into each other's homes. We invite people over. We share. Our kids do things together. We're a community. We have a value for community. That's expressed, of course, in a corporate service at the appointed times, Shabbat, the festivals, and so forth. But even during the week, we are in each other's lives. We're a community-based congregation of Jewish and Gentile believers in Yeshua the Messiah, and we're dedicated to proclaiming and advancing the gospel. That's what we do. We proclaim. We're proclaimers, right? We're proclaiming and advancing the gospel of the kingdom of God through faith in Yeshua and spirit-led, Torah-based discipleship in order to lead people into a life-giving, transformational, and sustainable experience with the one only true God. That's what we do. That's why we exist. Now, I would talk about our mission, but that's you know, got to get the mission down first before we talk about the vision. Okay? But let me just focus on that vision and bring it back to what we've been doing for the summer months and what we've been teaching on over the last couple months. Signs and wonders. Let me jump into Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Says this, at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. This is the beginning of the outreach in Jerusalem. Jesus is risen from the dead, he has poured out his spirit, and now his disciples are giving testimony to them. They're telling people he's risen from the dead, he's alive. He lives within his people. And signs and wonders are taking place. The works that Jesus did are still going on, as if Jesus really is alive and is still doing those things. How's that even possible? But the disciples are saying this, that he's risen, he's seated at the right hand of God, he's poured out his spirit, and he has come back into us now, and it's him in us doing the works that he was doing all along. And those works gave testimony to the truth that he really was risen from the dead. Without the signs and wonders, it would not be nearly as convincing. Their message wouldn't have the same traction without those signs and wonders. So, many signs and wonders were taking place through the people, among the people, through the hands of the apostles, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. There was healings of all kinds, from physical healings to spiritual healings to healings that dealt with mental illness. There was deliverance from demonic torment. There were great miracles of provision in people's lives. All these things taking place through those who believed in Jesus. And all of those believers were united together, committed to one another. It says they were in one accord. They were united. They met together. They prayed together. They worshiped together. They did business together. They had a fellowship, a unity because of Jesus. And in that unity, they learned to love one another. They were committed to each other and had a value for that community. So let's talk about roles and responsibilities. Roles and responsibilities. Acts chapter 4, verses 27 through 31. as it relates to accomplishing the mission that God had given to them, they had to understand the roles and responsibilities in accomplishing that plan that he had given to them. So they said, "For truly in this city there were gathered against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. So, in advancing the kingdom, our responsibility as believers, our responsibilities are to proclaim his word, to proclaim the gospel. What is our message? That Jesus is the King Savior. He's the King who has come to save his people from their sins. In Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness for our sins. That's the good news. That God's not angry with us. He is in love with us. For God so loved the world that he gave us his son. It doesn't say, for God so hated the world, he killed his son. No, he loved the world, so he gave his son. Jesus laid his life down willingly. In him is the forgiveness of sin, reconciliation with God and with each other. What the world longs for is peace and unity. And that peace and unity is only going to come through Jesus Christ. Our responsibility is to bring the good news to everyone around us, that God's in love with everyone and that he's offering to his son forgiveness. This is what we are called to do, to share that message with our mouth and with our deeds and through our lifestyle. I'll talk about that more later. So what's God's responsibility in all this? What's God's part in this? God is the one doing the saving, right? What's his part? Signs and wonders. He does the signs and wonders, and he's doing them today. Those have never stopped. There's an ebb and flow of that. Sometimes it increases, sometimes it diminishes, but there's always been signs and wonders associated with his people. This is what God does. And through those signs and wonders, he gives credibility to the message we're proclaiming. And together with the message and his presence, those signs and wonders, people get saved and added to the church, and the kingdom is advanced. That's how that works. So let's look at this again in Acts chapter 5 and kind of follow this progression. Acts 5:13. It says, "But none of the rest dared to associate with them." Why? Signs and wonders. It was kind of a scary thing to see the activity of God taking place. People started realizing this thing's real. Jesus is risen. He's alive. He's still here. Yeah, an encounter with the living God is kind of a frightening thing for people that were not living for him. But it says, however, the people held them in high esteem. The community of Christ, the community of Messiah, was held in high esteem. Acts 5:14-15. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, were constantly added to their number, to the extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. Think about that. All these people coming to faith, being added to the church, and the excitement grew and grew and grew. And more people gave attention to what the disciples were preaching. They preached the gospel, and they also brought the gospel through deeds. So what was one of the avenues of bringing good news to people? They prayed for the sick. They prayed for people in need. This is what they did. This is what we're called to do. You know, you don't just jump into a relationship or conversation and say, hey, do you know Jesus? That's not like an icebreaker. You know what I'm saying? No, what do? We get to know people. Find out their story. Look for opportunities to pray for them. And when those opportunities come, pray. Pray for them in faith. Know that Jesus is with you. He's in you. He's wanting to touch their lives. And so as we pray for people around us, get ready. We've done our part, right? God will do his. Sometimes right there at the moment that you're praying, sometimes hours after you've prayed for a person, or a week later, or a month later, but people will come back to you and say, you know what? That day you prayed for me, everything began to change. People will come back and give testimony to you for your faithfulness to be praying for them. They prayed for people, and they relied on God to do his part, and God did. He's the one that saves, not you. You don't have all the pressure of making anything happen. All you do is love and pray. Love and pray. That's our job. And then when you pray and God does his stuff, then you share the gospel. If he doesn't, you just hold off too. But you wait for those moments where people are moved and they've had an encounter with God to tell them, you know what? God loves you so much. He sent Jesus to die for your sins. In Jesus is the forgiveness of your sins. You think this healing is important? You think this change that's coming to you is important? There's something much greater than that. The forgiveness of your sins, that you can be born again, reconciled with God, and live forever. Death is not the end. It's just the beginning. That's an amazing thing, right? So let me share a story with you about praying for people and how that can open up deals. So we had this woman that Don and I knew for quite some time. She was very sick, and she was very tormented, and she had a lot of issues. She was actually sexually abused when she was a young child. And at the time that she was being abused as a young child, this spirit came to her in the nighttime. She described it as an angel. It was a spirit. It wasn't really an angel. You know, demonic agencies will come as angels of light to deceive people. But when she was a young girl being abused, this spirit came to her and said, if you let me come into your life, I'll protect you from what's happening. So she did. She invited this being into her life to protect her from what was happening. Guess what? She was protected for a while, you know. She had a measure of relief. But later in life, this thing began to torment her and control her and just ruin her life. She ended up in one mental institution after another. And her life would go through phases of, you know, she'd do well, get a job, kind of get stable, and then the whole thing would just start all over and fall apart. So she came to us for help. We were young in ministry, and she heard about us and had some relationship with Don, and so she came over. She said, I need you to pray for me. We said, yeah, come on over. Now, we didn't know all this history. We didn't know what was going on in her life. We just knew that she was, you know, not doing well and wanted some prayer. So she came over to her house, and I heard her drive up, so I went out to greet her. And when I got out, I'd realized how much weight she lost. She was totally almost anorexic. She was shaking. She was weak. And I thought, what happened? I thought, oh, my gosh, what happened to her, you know? And so she started coming up the stairs. She was coming up really slow, one step at a time, very frail. And she says, you need to pray for me. She says, I said, I don't know if we can help you. You know, she goes, no, you can. I can't go anywhere else. She goes, Mark, if I go anywhere else, they will lock me up in a psych ward again. She goes, I am not going there again. She goes, you help me. Now, I knew right away that this thing's demonic. And that she didn't want that misinterpreted by doctors who don't believe in that paradigm. And they're just going to lock her up and medicate her for a while. She's wanting some freedom, right? I'm thinking, man, I don't know. This is like above my pay grade, so to speak, you know. But yet God had set this whole thing up. That was an opportunity to believe, to just pray and let God do his thing. I didn't have to do anything. He would do his thing, right? It was a learning curve for me. So we invited her in that day, and began to minister to her, and this demon manifested. It was so violent and so strong in her, just her voice completely changed into a male voice that was very low in its tone, just a growl and an anger and a violence. She tried to hit me several times, tried to kick at me, and every time she was like, and was like, it was like, she swung with such force, so hard, so quick that I couldn't even deflect. You know, I'm like, and let me tell you something. Back then, I was fighting full time. I was a professional, world class fighter, and I'm like, man, this is like supernatural speed, you know. But it would stop. Her fist would stop just like. You know, a centimeter from my face or from my groin when she would kick. And I'm thinking to myself, something's stopping her each time. Praise God, because I'm not quick enough. You know, I'm in over my head, right? Anyway, so we realized this demonic agency in her, you know, was what was shaking her, troubling her, and taking her life away. And this thing ultimately was going to try to kill her. And so my wife and I just, you know, prayed. And as we're praying for her, this demon in her swung around and told Don, you know, I'm coming for you, you know, and you're going to pay for this, or something to the degree that it was going to try to hurt Don. And Don said, no, you're not. I am under the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I'm looking at Don, and all of a sudden she's in my face. I mean, I kind of like step back a little bit, you know. And she told me, she says, then I'm coming for you. She goes, when I'm done with you, you'll be in a psych ward. I'm going to take your mind. So I cued off my wife. And I said, I'm under the blood of Jesus. I thought that was pretty good. It worked for Don, you know. And I am under the blood, right? So right away, she swings around to her daughter who had brought her. And she says to her daughter, this spirit, this male voice says to her daughter, says, I'm going to kill you. And her daughter said, no, you're not. I am under the blood. And that demon laughed and sat back and said, no, you're not. And me and Don kind of looked at each other, and that daughter said, yes, I am. That demon says, no, you're not. You know, so as that kind of went on, you know, we said, be quiet in the name of Jesus. Be quiet. Shut up now. And we turned to her and we said, have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your life? And she put her head down and shook her head no. And we said, you know what? You can accept Jesus Christ right now. He'll come into your life now. He'll forgive you of your sins and cause you to be born again. And you can become one of his children. Would you like to do that? And all of a sudden, this demon rose up again and started screeching and screaming, just trying to, you know, create confusion. And so again, we bounded, commanded to be quiet, turned to her, and she says, yes. She goes, I want to ask Jesus into my heart. And we led her to Christ right there in the midst of that deliverance. And I want to tell you something. Because we made ourselves available to pray for someone who was tormented, and because God began to deliver her, that was the sign and the wonder that a demon manifested, was being dealt with, that this daughter realized the reality of God's presence, that he's alive and that in his son there is deliverance. And because she saw that through that sign and wonder, she accepted Christ into her heart. I don't think she would have done that without all that was going on. I think she saw the reality of the risen Lord and said, yes, I want him in my life. And I know that's pretty dramatic. It's typically not like that. What I'm trying to get across to you is this, that when you reach out and pray for your family members, for your friends, for your coworkers, when you look for opportunities to find out what they're struggling with and just offer, and they might say no 10 times before they say yes, when you offer, you know, can I pray for you in Jesus' name? I'd like to pray for you because I believe Jesus cares about you. I believe Jesus has answers for you. You know, when you do those little things and pray and just leave it at that, when God begins to answer, their hearts will open for the kingdom. Their hearts will open for Jesus. You'll be able to lead your family and friends to Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's what we're called to do. So we're called to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and to pray for those around us, everyone around us. You know what? Here's the deal. Everyone has problems. We just wear masks. Isn't that true? So when you're building relationships, friends open up, right? People share what they're going through. When people share what they're going through, that's your opportunity to say, can I pray for you? I don't know how many times I've said, can I pray for you? And the person says yes. And then I have to like pause a little bit and say, I mean now. Because they're like, not now. Go home and pray for me. It's like, no, let's pray right now. I remember I told my supervisor at work one day when I was working at a grocery store. And I was telling him about the Lord, and he was in a tough place, and he was really open. And I said, you know what? I said, why don't we just pray? We were in an aisle, and we were stocking, facing the, it's called facing when you pull all your product forward and make it look really nice. So we're working there, and we're talking to each other. I said, well, why don't we just pray right now? I said, no, can I pray for you? He says, yeah. And so I said, okay. And so I had to look at him. I said, I mean right now. Can you pray right now? And he says, well, here? I said, yeah. He says, on the clock? I said, yeah, we can just pray right here, you know. And he looks back and forth up and down the aisle, and he says, okay. I said, well, get on your knees. You know, it's great. Had to make it a little bit hard, you know. So all of a sudden, we're both on our knees, you know, facing kind of towards each other, and we got our heads bowed, and we're praying. I'm just praying with him, you know. The manager walks by, you know. It's like, oh, my gosh. He jumps straight up, you know, and then I have to get up. And the manager says, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, he's all upset, you know. I said, we're facing, you know. I was acting like we're still kind of doing some stuff, you know. So the supervisor runs off because he was afraid that he was going to be in trouble with the manager for what looked like kneeling and praying in the aisle. But it was amazing. It was fun. It made my day worth living, you know. But I want to encourage you to pray for people all around you, for whatever their needs are, because here's the deal. God has an unlimited number of resources. It doesn't matter what it is that they're facing. God has resources. You pray, leave the rest with God. Just say, you know what? God loves you. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if he's going to do something today, tomorrow, next week. But I know this. We pray. He's faithful. He loves you. Get ready. He's going to move in your life in a way that communicates his love for you. Okay, so Luke chapter 10, 8 through 9 says this. Whatever city you enter, heal those in it who are sick. And say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. In other words, he's saying, meet the needs first, then preach the kingdom. Don't preach the kingdom first. Reach out, love people. Make a difference in their lives. Pray for them. Heal the sick. Then tell them when they're healed, the kingdom of God has come near to you. That kingdom bus has stopped in front of you. The door is open. You're ready to jump on that kingdom bus? Because it's close. It's near. God has just healed you. That's when you seize the opportunity to lead them in a prayer of accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Acts 5:16. Also, the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also. Who's the you? Those who believe in him. Those who believe in him. If you believe in Jesus, you've got the Jesus factor. Jesus lives in you. He's with you, in you, ready to do his work. And he's saying, you know what? If you believe in me, the works I do, you shall do also. This is why we can pray with great faith. We can pray and trust in God with great faith. Now, I know it's not, it's a little bit oversimplified. They spent 3.5 years with him. They really got to know him. They learned to move with him. They understood him, right? And so we have to spend time with God daily. We have to spend time with Jesus daily. Get into his word. Get in relationship. Learn to listen. Learn to see his activity around us. Learn the cues of what's going on in our relationships with one another so we know when to pray. There's a timing element with all of this, right? But the point is that with the Jesus factor, we've got the potential to pray and move mountains on behalf of people and to bring them into the kingdom. Jesus goes on to say in this passage in verse 15, John 14, yes, coming down to verse 15. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Keeping the commandments of God is a witness in and of itself. We not only witness with our mouth, we witness through our lifestyle. In keeping his commandments, we become a people who love God, who have strong, loving marriages, who have kids that love God, a people of compassion and integrity, people of justice, a people of resource, people of faith, a people of joy and happiness and peace. People will see that. That, too, draws them into the kingdom. Not just praying and the signs and the wonders, but a lifestyle that's strong and healthy and vibrant. It's what draws people to the Lord. We just need to give the Lord the glory so that people know it's the Lord. And that's what will draw them to him. So we need to give that glory to him. So, in conclusion, I want to introduce a video to you. I think you'll enjoy this. It kind of illustrates what I was talking about today. So what happens when committed, discipled believers pray for those in need? What happens when people that have spent time with Jesus and love him and are in a relationship with him pray for those that are in need? Typically signs and wonders. Jesus is magnified and glorified. The joy of the kingdom comes and lives are touched. Then on the heels of that, those people that are touched go on to tell others. And then God does some signs and wonders there in the telling of the others of who he is and what he's done for them. And it goes on and on and on. The love of God being released through people in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In fact, there's another video I might show you later next week where the same person is in Israel. This person's in Israel in this video too. But it's amazing. He's like talking to these Israeli teens. They're like late in their teen years. And he's just sharing, the story of Jesus. Every time he prays, he's always making it very clear that he's praying in the name of Jesus. It's not the prayer, it's the name of Jesus. That's the emphasis. He's always giving Jesus the glory. People try to give him the glory. People try to say, are you a healer? He's always having to say, no, it's Jesus in me. It's not me. Jesus is alive. And that's our job. That when we do something, when we pray, reach out, love, or whatever, and God moves, always give God the glory. So, hope you enjoyed this video. We'll close with some words and then a Roman benediction. Yeah, that's an amazing video. He's getting lunch in some Israeli fast food restaurant. Just looking around, talking to people, engages this guy. The guy tells him about his ear problem. He prays and he gets healed. Did you note, though, that he said, I was prayed for over and over and over. So why wasn't he healed at those other moments of being prayed for? Why wasn't he? I don't know. That's the mystery of God. Right? The point is you just pray in faith, leave the rest to God. God may heal, he may not. It's a timing issue. But for whatever reason, that was his day. And he got healed. And he walked away, and I'll guarantee you, man, that guy's telling all kinds of people. And the glory is going to Jesus. That Jesus heals his people. Why? Because he loves his people. He loves his people. So I want to encourage us as we're stepping out in the summer months and learning to be bold for Jesus, I want to encourage you to recognize who you are. Witnesses for Jesus. And you and I, our job is to proclaim who he is. To love people, to pray for people, and to invite them in those encounters with Jesus. To give their lives to the Lord. And then bring them here. We'll baptize them in the name of Jesus. And we'll set their feet a dancing. And we'll disciple them here, and we'll grow the kingdom. We'll advance the kingdom with all the other churches that are involved in this. And so I want to encourage you with that. Be encouraged. Press in. Catch the fire of our mission. Spend time daily with the Lord. ask for divine appointments. Spend some time every day with the Lord, 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes in the afternoon, and tell him, give me some divine appointments. And then keep your eyes open for people around you who express to you their needs. And guess what? That's your cue. You're finding the heart of the Father, and he's saying, are you really interested? Do you really want to do this stuff? Jesus says, the works I do, you shall do also. And he's saying, do you really want to do this? Spend some time with me. Open up your eyes. Look for my activity, and I'll give you all kinds of opportunities. For Jesus, it's a great joy to have his children come to work with him. We do that in the world, don't we? We have that one day every year where you get to bring your kids to work. Yeah, you bring your kids and they kind of hang out and kind of see what you do. Yeah, Jesus has that day every day. That day is a daily day. He's saying, come with me, come to work with me, and do the things that I'm doing. It's part of your legacy, your privilege as my children. Amen? Shabbat shalom. Stand with me.
Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we add, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Yivarech Adonai Veishmerecha. Yaher Adonai Panavalecha Veihunecha. Isa Adonai Panavalecha Ve'asemlecha shalom. Shabbat shalom.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. We hope you have found this teaching relevant and challenging for your life. If you are in the Metro Denver area, please join us on Shabbat. Service starts at 1 p.m. and ends at 3 p.m. Kehila Tenuva is located at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado, just a few miles north of downtown Denver. For more information, please visit www.graftedin.com. That's www.graftedin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 29993, Thornton, Colorado, 80229. For inquiries, please call 303-761-9948 or email info@graftedin.com. Thank you for listening to the Shabbat message. Shabbat shalom and Shavua tov. Shabbat.